Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. This is Strength to Be Human, the guest house edition. I'm one of your hosts on the show, Mark Anthony Rossi. And of course, we have a wonderful and productive co-host, John Patrick Robbins. Hey, John, thank you very much for being with us again.
Always an honor to be on the show, Mark.
All right. This is going to be episode number 48. Wow, the show's really getting out there. And it's going to be on writing awards. So we want to talk a little bit about writing awards in general, the two big ones that are out there, Best of the Net and of course, the Pushcart Prize. But also we might want to talk about our own speculation on maybe some awards we might produce possibly ourselves for our own publications, something I'm considering anyway. But definitely wanted to talk about these awards, how they work, how things go on with them, how we pick things, some of our experiences. John's new to this for the first time. One of his publications is ready to go, so and that's always exciting. John.
Oh yeah, it'll be the first time I've ever nominated any people for the Best of the Net once as a. Really, really awesome that because we've been around a year, so it's really cool to put all that together, and really looking forward to getting that out, and because we've got a lot of work over at the Whiskey, and it's the hardest thing is going through all the work and picking the folks because there's so many good writes over there, so it's really, really cool, really interesting to do too. I've really enjoyed it.
That's great, and I'm happy that you're able to get out there and do something. One of the, for us anyway, as editors, one of the wonderful things about these awards nominations is it kind of lets us give something back, to the artists that have supported us, and of course to the artistic community in general. There's no money involved for us or for them. It's just a pure nomination. Of what you feel is merit, and it's also a real shot in the arm, I think, for a lot of writers for their own confidence and something for their bio.
Yeah, it's definitely a good thing, and it's like you said, it's a very transparent thing because there is no money involved, so I think that it's a very good thing, and like I said, it's just really cool to be doing this, and. Hard part is picking who you're going to nominate because it's not easy because as you know
when you
run a bag you have a lot of choices. That's the thing I think is the hardest thing is to pick who it was up to me. I would hand out far more than I did, but you only got those so many slots and you have to pick what you consider the absolute best.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. I mean, if you think about it, because the Best of the Net it has a different calendar choice than the push card. So they do the last 6 months of the previous year and then the first six months of the current year that they're going to give the award out. And they don't come out until like the fall, but by July 1st is when you have to start getting the nominations out. But even then, between those 12 months, I mean, I probably have like over 500 poems I would have to look at easily just to be able to pick out maybe five or six.
Yeah.
So it's a lot to go through. I mean, you could literally look at it and go, "Oh my God, there's 20 I like to do here, but I only could do six."
Yeah, that was the hard thing. I think when I had to go through all the work, especially producing as much as we do at the Whiskey and publishing as many folks as we do, it was very. I mean, you got almost.
Well, this is my third year. This is my third year doing it, and.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Oftentimes, and one of the biggest problems that we can have as editors, and over time, you figure this out, and then it's not a problem anymore. But you can't hold anybody's hand, and there's no easy way to do this. I actually first started out with, I would make these nominations, I would make them publicly known, And then privately, I would actually message a couple of people I might had on the short list just to tell them, hey, listen, you were like on my short list. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to pick you, but I want to know that we're thinking about you. You know, thinking that would be helpful, but it didn't. You got people that never submitted to you again. Some said something nasty back. Even when you try to be decent and extra special about it, you know, people acted idiotic. So I found that simply just do the best that you can in terms of what your judgment was, put it out there. Make sure you get these people going. If anything, you have to make sure that the writers that you're picking, you're in contact with.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. I always make sure I'm in contact with them before I even put them out there. If I'm not talking with them, I'm not communicating with them, if I don't have any way that I can talk to them recently and make sure that the information is still current, they're still out there, there's no point doing it then, because you're just wasting a slot on somebody that might never see it.
Yeah, it's a, you know, the communication is key, and luckily, I know I definitely communicate with the people that I'm nominating, so it's like, it would be weird if they didn't know.
That's what I'm saying, and it's too bad, because every so often, you're going to find some people that you might not be able to get a hold of them.
Yeah.
need to get a hold of them before you even put them out there, otherwise it's a real problem. You can tell them all day long afterwards, I took a couple weeks to try to find you. Nobody wants to hear that. They want to know what's going on. And so I tell people, if I can't get a hold of you, that's on you then. I guess I'm going on to somebody else. It's not terribly hard to do, because guess what? Out of 500 selections, don't tell me I only have six that are great for this thing. I probably have 100. So it's not hard to go down the list and say, well, can't get a hold of this person. Let's go with this one. So people being in contact is really important. You know, if we're trying to reach out to you, we're not doing it because – you know, I don't want to know what's going on in the World Cup. I mean, I'm trying to find out how to reach out to you.
Yeah, definitely. You have to have that constant, that steady communication and everything else. But
you do, because you might luckily, pick somebody that was from last year, you know?
Yeah.
And it might be hard now to reach them, and that's a problem, unfortunately. But what can I tell you? For my own full disclosure, I'm not fully done with my list yet, but I have a couple that I have already selected and already publicly told. So I'm happy to say that you were one of the selections for your poem Neptune, which is coming out in that Once Upon a Nervous Breakdown. Very happy about that. It's a poem. So that's really a great one. I've known and been working with John on poetry before we even did the show. So
It was a big surprise and a huge honor. And I was really, really thrilled because whether people know it or not, I had absolutely no clue. So I was like,
I've been nominated
thrilled.
Twice for the push card, so I'm always excited about that. Never for the best of the net, but that's because, it wasn't even around when I started writing. It's more of a recent one. Push card's been around for over 50 years, but not the best of the net.
Yeah.
So that's the reason why on that one. Maybe one day. I have for the first time, because I don't normally allow nonfiction on my site. It's mostly just poetry and fiction. But one of my my co-editors on the publication, she wanted to do a nonfiction piece, sort of like an editor's note thing, and it was really useful and I liked it a lot. So I nominated her for that. It's called Creativity, a Soul Sparking Play. So I'm really happy that we were able to put her in a nonfiction category, because that's normally one I can't use. So that would be Jana Begovic out of Canada. So I'm excited about that. And then the last one, I'm hoping it won't be the last one for what I'm doing. I'm still trying to reach out to some other people. But Hugh Cook, his poem, Sign Here, which I published in September of last year. And my friend Hugh, he wound up getting published a travel poetry book by my Israeli co-friend there, Sai Albright. So it's great to see that happen. And I got a couple others. Hopefully I'll be able to make some contact with them, So I think I like to do like six or seven all together. But we'll see how it goes. Right now, just nonfiction and poetry, I got a couple fiction in mind, but I'll find out what's going on with that. But I'm hoping to add a few more to that. But it's pretty exciting that everybody had a great response, of course, and it's always nice to see and hear. It's a good thing for somebody's bio, especially, you know, if they've been writing for a while and they really haven't been recognized enough, this is a good thing for that.
Yeah, it's definitely an awesome thing to receive, and yeah, like you said, I think for anybody who's been doing this a while, it's you know, it's a good thing to have on your bio, but it's also just good to get the nod that you know you've been doing this for a while, and kind of a little bit of vindication, I think, sometimes too. So I know it was, like I said, it was a thrill for me, and especially on something that was a real departure in my own work. That was a little bit different from how I've been, from a lot of stuff I've done, but, you know, and a personal favorite. So I was really thrilled about it. So yeah,
oh,
it was great.
Well, you're going to have fun doing it. You know, like anything, though, I mean, it has its plus sides. You know, you're going to have its negative sides too. I've had some experiences where I'm like, you got to be kidding me here. I'm trying to do something good for somebody. So you got writers out there sometimes that don't have their head on straight.
Yeah.
I had one guy, I nominated him for like the best award in the country, and like 2 months later, he's like, oh, I'm going to give up writing. and puts it on social media. Not even like a personal note to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, they're going to really pick your poem now. Thanks for wasting my spot on this. I could have gave that to somebody else who's not going to give up writing. So appreciate that. Then I had some girl literally questioning me about, did you really nominate me? No, I'm just making this stuff up. Because you can't go to that organization and they won't tell you the nomination list. You can. They put a big book out. It publishes everything. You know, you can go purchase it from them, or you can go to the library and see it. But again, why would I make that up? It makes no sense.
Yeah. It's if you tell somebody, it's kind of ridiculous that they would wonder. But, you know, I mean... as editors too, we've heard it all, and some of the stories alone are
disappointing sometimes.
Hilarious,
it really is.
Yeah,
I had at least two. I had at least two fiction writers tell me. When I heard behind the scene, one told me directly, "I wish you could have picked another fiction." I'm like, "Well, since I only published one of your fiction, and since I don't have the magic powers to reach across the internet and grab something else and pick it, I would just think that you would have been happy anyway, especially since." What you're telling me really is you're sending me something that, you know, you don't really think it was worthy. And, well, why don't you send me the other thing then? If that was supposed to be the great piece of yours. So I don't know what's on some of these people's minds. But we're doing something, you know, as artistic service, something that's pure and natural, and I feel honorable. So you get some people that they kind of ruin the experience sometimes. And you get upset because you're like, this is what I need to hear every year? Some nonsense?
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous when you, especially because it's a lot of work. People may not get this because they don't know how it is to be on the opposite side of things. The editing, of course, in general is a lot of work, but when you go through all the trouble to nominate somebody and take your time to do so, and then, they either get agitated or they wish you'd picked something else. So I'm like, I'm grateful for anything anybody does because I know. That they really don't have to.
I mean, I don't really understand the whole thing behind that. It's hard to understand that because if that's really your feelings, you know, that's something you think you'd be smart enough to keep private to yourself. You don't want to express that to the editor who just nominated you for a big award.
Yeah, it's a strange one, but
you're questioning his judgment, and then you're also questioning whether you even put your best foot forward because you're pretty much saying, "I gave you a piece of crap." And I really hate that you nominated that. You could have nominated something really great. Yeah, thanks.
Well, and then that's a whole other thing of when you submit, you should always be giving your best. You know, I don't know why you'd be holding back to begin with. So,
you got to
think about that.
Yeah.
I don't think about when I submit work. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, I always put out my best, but I mean, I'm not thinking, oh, this is going to get nominated. You know. Whereas some people who've been nominated, I mean, I've had people contact me, and I always find that a little bit, just on my side, in my opinion, a little bit pretentious. It's like, don't forget to nominate me for that. I'm like, well, that's my choice. Don't, you know, that's kind of a thing I don't like. I don't like, you know, because I have a lot of writers I think are going to be blown away when you say, hey, I nominated you, and they never once ever said, yeah, don't forget to nominate me for this. Like, okay.
These folks are something else, know, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I've heard that this happens, and I've seen some emails from other people in the past about that, but I haven't had anyone actually send me that, telling me that, because, and God forbid they ever do, because the moment I get an email like that, I'm going to forget everything, all right, on purpose.
Yeah, I was going to say.
it's bad form. It's not very classy. You know,
No, it is. It's rather cheesy to be, I thought, you know, and that's when I remember my first year. I mean, absolutely, like, it was like the first month or so, and I got a couple like that. I'm like, I haven't even been in business for a month or so. So it's like, yeah, that was a little bit pretentious, but you know, you're going to hear it all in writing. I will say that much.
No doubt. It's unbelievable. It really is. Because it's not really the right form anyway. I'm not saying that there is a right form for that. You really shouldn't be trying to lobby yourself.
Yeah.
But if someone's already about to publish your work and then you're still talking about an award and everything, God. Okay. Yeah. This is beyond just being not classy. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
Yeah. No. Some people are just, you know, I don't know, I guess they kind of go beyond marketing themselves. You know, it's like, besides like flying, you know, renting a banner, having it flown over somewhere, you know, I mean, it's just a little bit much, but everybody does things different. So I'm not knocking them. That one did catch me, and very few people ever do that. So there's only like a limited few that really do, but you know, it doesn't, I just largely ignore it, to be honest.
Well, there's one screwball guy, and I banned him like 2 years ago because he's a sexual harasser, mm-hmm. and a weirdo, and everything else. But he literally has an email where it literally says, "Don't forget to do not make me for like a whole list of awards."
Yeah, I know who that is.
And then he actually says, "My rating site is the greatest site in the whole world." Yeah.
Yeah, he's very humble.
Yeah, he's humble, all right. I like to urinate in his cornflakes if I could. Let him understand how I feel.
Oh
about
my
this.
God!
Yeah.
You say what you really think.
Mm-hmm. it's just completely disgusting. I mean, this is not the way to go about things. So you deserve my special cereal, definitely.
It is a bit much. I mean, that's I know exactly who that is, and it's a bit much. One of the longest emails I've ever seen. I will say that, and that's not me. Not knocking him, but I've never seen an email with that much stuff in it. I mean, the only thing it didn't have is a couple stickers.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't decorate it with art and have links to everything he's ever written in his life. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well, don't give him the idea.
Yeah, I know. my luck, too.
Yeah. Yeah, that one's a little bit, yeah. You know, I can't fathom that. I not to even go on a tangent, but I just can't. I have never once submitted to an editor. You know, I'm just glad when they say, "Hey, this is accepted." You know, I can't imagine just having the backbone or whatever to just put that much stuff into an email. You know, I mean, I just try to keep it short and sweet, really.
Well,
and, you know, my bio.
I could be wrong. I could be wrong. I mean, this is my theory. I mean, like I said, I could easily be wrong. But I honestly think when people do stuff like that, that nitwit does, it's because plenty of people who receive this ignore it and they don't really challenge it. That's really what it is. Because if enough people challenge it, he wouldn't be doing that crap anymore.
Yeah.
Enough people said, this is not acceptable. I'm not publishing you. I don't know you anymore. Get away from me. You can't stop that, but there's enough people that just they chuckle it off. Some things you can't chuckle off.
Yeah, I'm not to be mean or rude or anything else. Sometimes when I get stuff like that that's just so outrageous, I'm just going to ignore it because I feel like if you're not taking me serious, why should I take you serious? And you know, it's like when people it's just a big no-no with me. I really cannot stand it when people will send me an email and they'll send me links to their work. instead of like submitting their work, they will send like a link and then act like I'm going to republish their stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
I actually have it in my guidelines to not do that, because if you did that, I'm not even going to consider you. So I don't know if you should put that in your guidelines or not, but you would think that somebody would have enough knowledge and understanding that that is it's unprofessional. Okay, we should have to be searching the internet to look at your work.
Yeah.
Plus, what does that really mean anyway? Even if I wanted to do that, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Is that the poem you want me to publish when it's already been published? Or are you just telling me that's just the style of your work and I still haven't seen the real poem that you want? Whatever it does, it gives a mixed message, and to me, it's just very unprofessional. You need to be clear. If you're not clear, don't submit.
Yeah, it's a... just one of the many things you deal with as an editor that will, I mean, any editor knows that you're going to get the gamut of everything, you know, good, bad, some hilarious. I find a lot of humor in things, but you know, I'm weird. So,
those humorous guys. And I got that, you know, I probably laugh about it later, but I got no problem saying you're a moron. Don't submit here anymore. I'm putting you in spam. Bye. That's what I do.
Well, your responses sometimes are hilarious. I would not test you. You're not the kind of guy to test. I know you, so.
Well, these are not like secrets to the kingdom here, John. I mean, it's not hard to realize that you should produce work and send it out that a person can access. Hopefully it's your best work. It shouldn't be work with 1,000 typos. Or you need 18 international translators from Star Trek to understand what's going on, you know? And you shouldn't be saying, oh, yeah, by the way, after you consider this poem, please nominate me for 47,000 awards next week. I mean, come on. This stuff, it makes no sense at all. For a person to conduct himself this way, you know, they're either on drugs or they're not taking writing seriously.
Yeah. That's... That's true, and it's just it's a shame that you have to kind of deal with that. But there's plenty of people who understand how all this works. So it's, you know, every now and then you're going to get the others probably stand out a little bit just because you remember, just because they act up so bad. But,
yeah, that's true. I'm not happy with what we've gotten so far and what we continue to get. So don't get me wrong. You know, it's just that.
Oh, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Just like, to me, it all flows together, though. If you can't. Mm. If you can't present it right and you can't submit it right, you're going to lose all your chance of being taken seriously. You lose your publishing chance. Guess what? You might lose a chance on getting a nominee at one of these awards because I don't have your work, because now I think you're a screwball. Not helpful. So you could ruin yourself all the way down the line.
Yeah. Yeah. It's it's just bad. It's bad form for people, but yeah, we try to tell them. Now they have it on record, so.
Yeah, because this is not like regular life, and I agree with people that say that first impressions in regular life, even though they might mean something, that's not the end of the world. You might have another chance to correct that.
Mm-hmm.
But when you submit something to a magazine like I or John or others, that is your first impression. It could be your last chance too. So if you're gonna come over there with a format that's screwed up or crazy fonts you can't even read or bad typos or, you know, asking yourself to be nominated for stuff. I mean, that's our first impression of you. It's probably going to be the last one too, because I don't want to deal with that nonsense.
Yeah, it's we are busy, and as a side note, one time I think one of my favorite ones was, I got an email and it was, you're going to hate this. And I thought, well, that's a great way to start out.
Yeah, not a good way.
Oh, yeah, no. No, they didn't get a nomination, so.
It's almost like when you're talking to your significant other. Listen, hon, promise me you're not going to get pissed when I tell you this. Not exactly the great warning sign of the world. You know?
You're already on shaky ground, it's
guys,
it's
if you gotta say that to your girlfriend or your wife, do me a favor, okay? Already put out the comforter on the couch, okay? This way you're ready for when you go there later, okay? You might as well just be prepared.
There you go. Yeah.
So just amazing. So I definitely agree with you. Now, I've been thinking, and I don't know if I'm crazy or not, but because I probably only could do it maybe like once or twice a year or something. But I was thinking about doing, you know, like a formal contest for Aerial Chart. That's the magazine I run.
Yeah.
The only magazine I run. Yeah. John runs like, I don't know, 400. But I only, I only one run.
20.
I only do one because that's all I can handle. He, on the other hand, he's a six shooter. He lives more dangerously. I don't. Okay. I'm just an idiot old guy with four cats. Okay. But
oh Lord.
I'm thinking about
that's another
doing
story.
It. Now it's you when you win, you'll actually win, like a paper award, you know, a nice certificate sort of thing. You know, I'll have a couple categories and. You know, so you wouldn't enter for any money, and you're not going to win any money, okay? It'll just be, you know, a nice certificate. But something real you could put on your resume, and it would be something nice. I wouldn't print it out on my own stuff. I just get it professionally made. They're not terribly expensive, but it'll look really cool.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking about that. It'd be nice because I still don't like a lot of these awards that are out there. The ones that we're submitting for, I love, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of other ones, and I swear to God, almost every one of them want money. $5, $6, $25, really. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a judge who has 97 letters in his last name, I never heard before, and they always seem to pick out the college graduate who did an internship at Harvard or something. Great, thanks. That's what I want to do. I want to spend my money for somebody else where it looks like I don't have any chance at all. No.
Yeah.
So, and there's too many of those nonsensical awards. And you don't even get anything like a certificate or a medal or something. A lot of times it's just cash.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, it's weird when award ceremony people, they're not even asking you your work yet. They're asking you about your PayPal. Can you put your PayPal in here? Because the money you send us for the fee, that's what we'll send you
giveaway.
Back. Yeah, it's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a dead giveaway.
Yeah, so here's how.
And you know, I'll.
Okay.
Go ahead, boss. No, sorry about that. No, go ahead.
It's just. I worked at PayPal. That's a bad sign. Okay, all right. So my feelings are this: I'm not your pal, and you're not going to get any pay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, oddly enough, my little I don't know what you want to call it. Maybe it's a black eye in writing. I don't know, but the Under the Bleachers itself does have its own awards. So that's the easing awards that we do. And of course we do it all in fun, but we actually hand out awards. So every year, and we, you know, oddly enough, they are for writing. I know people would be shocked. They're like, wow, you never know what Under the Bleachers would do, but yeah, we do. I do that. I like, and that was fun. And oddly enough, even though here it's like a little printout thing that you can have. You wouldn't believe how many writers really appreciate that, you know, because it is a good thing. I think a lot of magazines probably should have their own in-house awards, especially ones that have been around for a while, too. I mean, why not? You know, just gives a nod that you appreciate what, you know, the writers, because we need the writers. It's kind of without the writers, it's kind of, you know, you have to have the magazines and you have to have the writers, so.
I totally agree. So I'm pretty excited about thinking about it. So I'll let you guys know that in the near future over here if this is something I do. But I'm definitely thinking about doing it. It'll be interesting and fun. And also, I wanted to do something a little bit different with it too. Not only is it no money involved and you can actually get something, but I also wanted to do an option where if I have some honorable mentions, not only will you get a nice honorable mention certificate. But then I would include you in, you know, one of the issues of Aerial Chart. You know, I'll ask the person up front, of course, you know, if they're okay with that. You know, they choose not. I'll just take the honorable mention, but I'll do the poem somewhere else. No offense.
Yeah.
But it'd be also a nice way to give somebody something as well, too, that, you know, if they're considered for winning the contest, then I should definitely be considering them to publish them. Because, it's going to be the same kind of interest and criteria. It's not like it's something less. So that'd be another thing to do because a lot of these contests don't do that. Even when they're running a publication, they never seem to do that. So I thought it'd be a nice, extra gift, you know, in the whole thing.
Yeah, I think it's like I said. I think more places should do that too. I think I know when I did mine as it was kind of like, of course, it was done in humor, but I mean, it's still it's good to, you know, give that to your to your riders. And I think it's encouraging. And once again, it's just something a little extra that you go that little, you know, little bit of something extra there that people really appreciate. And that, you know, it shows that you appreciate them. And I think that most riders really dig that, actually. So yeah, I know I do. Pretty it's pretty cool.
I think I'm going to just do it about once a year. I don't really think I want to do it any more than that. It's just, you know, it's working itself. And if I'm going to add anything extra to me, I don't want to go too carried away. So I think once a year is fine. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to consider this because I think it'd be fun to do. It really is. And another extra thing to give back to people. I mean, you're going to meet some crazy people now and then, but for more part, I usually meet a lot of good people, so I'm happy with that. I couldn't keep doing this if I had too many crazy stories. Then it would be too much on my nerves. I think sometimes I mention these. I don't do it out of ingratitude. I do it because people should know the whole story about what goes on with us behind the scenes. They should also know that, you know, becoming an editor and doing this is real work. It's not always a joy. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just a lot of work. And then when you get, even if you're just dealing with 50, 60 submissions and you're dealing with two or three people that are acting like idiots, trust me, it wears on you. So it's good that people know all this. And then, of course, just for the radio show we do in itself, you know, people want a little drama. They want a little excitement in it. So it kind of adds a little pizzazz for us to talk about some of these dark, weird stories. People, sometimes they text me back and laugh and say, holy moly. I don't think I want to be an editor. I'm like, no, probably not. If that shocks you, you probably don't want to do it then, okay?
Yeah, no. I can testify to that. Editing is not for everybody.
No,
it
not.
Really isn't. There's a lot of people who will contact me and mention and say, yeah, man, I really want to do what, you know, you do. And then you think, no, you really don't. Because it's like, it's not just a title. It's a job. It is, and it's you know, and I enjoy it, but there's sometimes that I think, why in the world am I doing this? You know?
and it does require some people's skills. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the same as people's skills outside of writing, where you might, out of diplomacy's sake, tolerate some stupidness. And in writing, you really can't tolerate that. I mean. Someone gives you something that's half-baked, or someone acts idiotic in their communications with you, or, you know, acts inappropriate. People's skills are not. If you tolerate that, trust me, they'll be with you for years, and you just be tolerating what? Craziness? You can't. You got to cut that off immediately. I've learned the hard lesson the first year doing that magazine. I tolerate people I should have never did. Oh, I need their writing.
Yeah.
Oh, people are eccentric. I mean, I was making excuses for people that are actually being disrespectful and abusive.
Yeah.
And so I clamped down and said, no, that's enough. I mean, are you crazy?
Yeah, and that's absolute truth. I mean, I know I've learned it. You just can't, you know, I definitely have way too much patience, but you can't, you know, ultimately, there's got to be somebody to run the shop, and they're going to have to respect you. Because it is your shop, and that's the way it is. And you can't tolerate a lot of craziness. Because
if you do, like you said,
they won't quit. No, they'll just keep pushing.
And get worse, and then you just put an extra work on yourself. Well. So you gotta cut it out really quickly over there. It's like that leak in the basement, you know?
Yeah.
And you're doing your laundry, and you're like, I'll get to it tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow you could be Noah's Ark. You got to get to it now. It's the same thing as that. You can't let it go long. Cancer, it'll spread, and that'll be it. You know, so you just gotta jump on it right away. And plus, and I tell people professionally too, even if they get on my nerves, listen, I don't mean to sound like a jerk, but there are 10,000 other venues out there. So if I don't pick you, or if I'm not happy the way you've conducted yourself, try them.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell you? Go try them then. I know already what your answer is going to be, because you got lots of places, literally thousands of places. They won't even respond to you when they pick your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They won't. You'll get a form letter when you get rejected. You won't even know why they picked it if it's good. And I know I was telling you this a couple months ago, John, and I know I was telling Mike Griffin the same thing when we were talking about this. But I swear to God, once a month I put my name in Google, because I find my work on magazines that they never even told me they published me. And I look at the date, because, you know, you can see the date there, and it's months ago. So there'll be times, folks, where people publish you, didn't even remember to remind you.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't email them. What the hell happened with this? You can't email them because they didn't get your work out of the blue. You sent it to them. You'll remember you sent it to them. You just never hear anything because either they're busy or they forgot or who knows what.
Yeah.
So it happens. I mean, so it's a good idea that if you do a lot of stuff. Yeah. If you do a lot of stuff, check at Google at least once a month because I swear to God, eventually you're going to find something. You'll be shocked. You're like, what the heck?
Yeah, that always aggravates me. As somebody who always makes it a rule of thumb to every time I publish somebody to send them the link, I mean, I do try to say something in there, you know. Some people don't, but then again, as long as they let you know, that's to me what's important. But yeah, I mean, I know I had when I was putting together a book, and I had that case of, because most of the time when I do books, none of it's published anywhere. And I had a work that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I did a search and then boom, there was something I had sent out and it had been months ago and they never got back to me. And I don't know why, because they were kind of, they always did. And I don't know, maybe it was a, you know, miscommunication there, but it was aggravating. I mean, cause you know, it's kind of, if you're going to take it or not use it, it doesn't, you know, I understand that rejection I can tolerate. I'm a grown up, but just, you know, let me know either way in some kind of, you know, a reasonable amount of time would be nice. You know, I know we all get busy, but I mean, I run multiple places and I can get back to people. So,
yeah, I've never had a problem with that. Never. But, I tell you, it happens. It happened to me a lot. I know last year I found 8 of my works published without notification to me. Okay, we're in the 6th month of this year right now. I already have 2.
Yeah, that's just bad business. In my opinion, and I think it will. I mean, I don't. It's just we know how these places run. That's the thing. That's the only thing that I really don't get.
It's annoying, but I live with it because at least the work's being published, so that's all I can do. Because you really can't email that at the editor. Because as editors, we're busy ourselves. And what are you really supposed to say?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, thanks for publishing me, but wish you let me know. I mean, it sounds kind of lame.
Yeah.
The only time I ever made contact was the one time last year where I distinctly remember this guy rejecting my work with a form letter, yet it's up on his magazine.
Oh,
not when I actually emailed back and said, listen, I got a rejection letter. Why is this over here? If you change your mind, you think you couldn't let me know. That was an invitation and an opening for me to say, hey, why didn't you let me know about this? But then again, I need to know that more important than anything else, because I'm out there sending that work thinking it's rejected, you know?
Yeah.
And God forbid somebody looks at it and says, Mark, this has been published already someplace. You know, they make me look like some kind of jerk, and I'm not. I'm telling you it's been rejected, you know?
Yeah, I haven't ever had that. I mean, I think at least as of late, I've had a couple places that, and I've been sitting for months, you know, and you get accepted and you think, well, okay, you know, that's another thing is when you do get accepted, and it happens. Cause I mean, that's like you say, we get busy. So I do understand that sometimes, you know, you accept stuff, you just don't know when you can get it up, you know, but sometimes you wonder about that when you get accepted and then it just doesn't ever appear. But, you know, we don't ever know. And I would never harass an editor, because I just know that it's a hard job and you're very busy. And we also have our lives outside of this. So it's like, you know, I don't know. It's like I said, it's definitely a job.
I definitely emailed that guy. And that guy was a smart aleck. He emailed me back, well, would you prefer that it's just rejected then? I'm like, no, I prefer that if it's a rejection, it stays that way. If you're going to change your mind, you should let the person know. I'm making decisions, ethical decisions, based on your nonsense and your lack of follow-through. I'm literally telling 10 other people, no, this thing's never been published. When it's been on, according to Google, it's been on the internet for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You're making somebody look like a liar, and then they're going to be a smart aleck to them? Not a good idea.
At that point,
it got me upset. I just said, you do what you want. Okay, but you know, I can't be worried about people looking at me the wrong way because of you.
Mm-hmm.
I go, thank God, I still had that email in my computer where at least I could forward it to the person that it was rejected, because otherwise I look like a complete moron. I look like, and I'm also an editor besides a writer, so I don't want to look like a hypocrite either.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure I know that that editor in particular. So yeah, it is strange when people do stuff like that. I can't explain it because I don't think I've ever sit there and rejected something and then ran it. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I'd like to have some of his Kool-Aid, whatever he's drinking.
I don't know what was on his mind, because I know one thing for sure is when I reject something, it's rejected. Because remember, I don't operate on the philosophy like a lot of magazines do, where they reject like 50 poems because they didn't have the room for it. I don't do that. Because if there's some good work in those 50 poems, I'm going to ask the person, listen, if you can keep your word and keep this out of the market, I don't have room for this issue, but I'd love to put it in the next issue. And I get a lot of work that way. And that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't reject something out of hand just because of the room. You know, if the person's not interested or if there's something wrong with it, I don't like what's going on with it, then it's not going to change suddenly next week, you know? It's gone.
Yeah, no.
So I wouldn't be changing my mind.
That's definitely never, I would never work that way, and I don't know why some people do, but you never can tell, you know?
No, you can't, and I'm okay with that. The guy said I made a stupid mistake and everything, but this guy is almost like, you know, I'm asking some forbidden question. You know, I tell writers all the time, you know, other than, you know, trying to promote yourself in an unseemly manner, you should ask what questions you want to ask. I don't have a problem with that. No one says you can't. You just got to make sure it makes some sense, you know, sounds professional, and you're not crossing the line. That's all.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I always tried to be easy to approach. I don't mind people asking me questions, and they largely do. And sometimes they ask me questions about the funniest things when they ask me about it, because I've had a couple people that I was either their first publication, and they weren't really sure. So, I mean, I don't mind helping people. I mean, we should always be, you know, if I've got time, I'll help you. But it is strange how some people are scared to even just maybe they've dealt with a couple of editors who are a bit crabby.
that's possible, no doubt about it. But crabby or no crabby, if you have to make a decision based on because you're just too afraid to talk to the editor, you don't know if you're making the right decision, and then if it winds up turning against you, you could be part of that responsibility.
It's just kind of ridiculous that, you know, the way things work sometimes. But no, I mean, you just never know when you submit to these places, and you don't know who's running the shop, and you learn, you live and learn. That's the only, all you can do when it comes to submitting. I know that that's why when I find a place that I like doing business, I do return business, you know, because you get a good rapport with the editor. I mean, the places I've sent, it's like, you know, I've been working with for a while, you know, it's not anything new. So I know that I can write and speak to the editor and you know, not be afraid they're going to get mad because I ask them a question.
Yeah, exactly. You should be able to do that as much as possible. I mean, don't get me wrong, folks. You're going to get bad experiences and sometimes doing this. In fact, the bulk of the magazines, they're not even going to answer your question or even get back to you. So, unfortunately, that's just the case. The more independent ones, the more strictly creative ones, the ones that are not built out of some ivory tower, you might get something. I still say it doesn't hurt to try. You know, you're not hurting yourself from doing so, especially if it's a useful, intelligent question. It could be about a theme. I mean, you want to make sure that your poem fits in with that. You know, it could be about possibly a guideline of theirs. You're trying to understand what that means or all of that. I mean, these things are important. I wish people would be more, editors more responsible about trying to answer these questions rather than just assume that everything somebody asks is going to be silly. You can't cover everything in the guidelines. God knows I try, but you're going to get stuff now and then anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you if you're going to do a writing award on your magazines, because you got 100 of them. One of them, you're already doing some kind of award, so at least You're already ahead of me on that.
Yeah, we
have. You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. UTB has the e-zines. We always have fun with that, yeah. And that's, of course, in good humor.
I'm glad.
But we also do hand out awards,
that's,
so yeah.
That's cool, and I'm glad that you're into the, you finally got into this, you know, Best of the Net 2019. So
yeah.
So this is the first time for you, and I'm really glad that you did that, definitely, because...
Yeah.
That's really a part of the I feel the artistic heritage of the editor that they try to help people the best they can. They try to give answers when they're necessary to give. You know, they're trying to use their artistic judgment to pick things out for other awards. You know, but in the end, they're trying to, you know, in their own small way, build up the writer. Meaning adding extra credit to the bio or an award nomination or maybe a piece of advice. It's really what we're supposed to be doing as editors. And too many editors don't do this or don't do enough of this. So I'm glad that we are doing that because it really does add to the whole, you know, creative community out there, which I feel we owe a little something to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really dig the Best of the Net, so I'm really happy to be, be involved in it and nominating writers. You know, it's really, that is a really cool thing to be doing. And, just something you should be doing if you are running a magazine, been doing it a while. I mean, it's just kind of goes along with being an editor once that is a good thing. And as much as sometimes I get aggravated at the job, I do dig the job.
Yeah,
so.
I know. That's like with any job, no doubt about it. I mean, if you think about it, if you love your publication and you really love trying to help people, that means like anything else that you love, that sometimes it's going to get on your nerves, whether it's a wife or a dog or your house, you know what I mean, or family members.
Yeah.
I mean, loving them means that sometimes you have permission now to be annoyed or sometimes even be disappointed. It happens too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is very true.
I remind people who ask. I get a question now and then, not as much as I used to, maybe because of these shows, kind of like educated some people. But I get some people ask me about what should they expect as a writer, and I just tell them you expect more work. Expect that you might have to fight some of your available time with your own work in order to get the editing work done.
Mm-hmm.
Expect that everybody out there, even if you're helping them honestly, cares, appreciates it, or even going to be respectful. You know?
Yeah.
Expect that for every pat on the back you get, you're going to get a punch in the face sometimes. That's just the world.
Yeah.
So it's not a bunch of roses and candy. Sometimes people are giving you Drano and telling you to drink it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you gotta be wise enough and strong enough to say, you know, I'm not drinking your Drano. I'm splashing it back at you. Have a good day. Bye.
Yeah, exactly. Couldn't say it better.
Yeah, yeah, because not everybody who's peeing, it doesn't mean that it's really raining, okay? You're being peed on sometimes. You got to know the difference, and you got to be able just to simply say, I'm going to kick you there, and you won't be peeing on anybody anymore, okay?
Yep, exactly.
That's all you really can do. I mean, but some people, they have this vision that you're just sitting here and the whole world's loving you, everybody's listening to what you have to say, and no, that's not the case. Like, it's no different than anything else in the world. You're gonna have your supporters and you're gonna have your detractors. You're gonna have your people that appreciate what you're doing. You're gonna have some that, for some naive reason, don't understand that the experience they get is still pretty rare. I tell people sometimes when they piss me off, I'm like, are you always communicating with others like this on a regular basis? Because I seriously doubt it. So why are you screwing up this relationship?
Yeah.
You're not going to get too many like it. And if you don't realize that now, once I'm done with you, you're going to realize it later on. When you're getting form letters and people farting on you, that's about all you're going to get.
More and more, it's becoming, I mean, like with editors, like the way we do and how we operate, it's like becoming a thing of the past because it is a lot of this automated kind of stuff. And, you know, nothing wrong with that. I know that some people find it easier just because then they don't have to have, you know, they don't have to get all the craziness that we deal with sometimes. But I mean, I really wouldn't want to have a form letters and all that. I don't know. It just takes away from, to me, what it's all about. And it's a long tradition, and it's something I really do enjoy doing. And for all the kind of crazy stuff that we deal with, I probably get a lot of material out of that. So, I mean, yeah, you know, I enjoy the work. So it's like, I enjoy dealing with people and the good writer, and cause I have, it's far more good than I've ever dealt with stuff that's been kind of not so good, but you know, even the ones that are kind of out there, it's still memorable. And it's been fun, I have to say.
Don't get me wrong, I enjoy it too, but I deal with a lot bigger numbers. So, you know, if I get like, you know, 3,000 submissions, and then 10% of these people are acting idiotic. I mean, that's 300 people that are pissing me off. It's a lot of people still.
Yeah, well.
So I can say all day long about how 90% are great, but those other 10%, they get on your nerves after a while, because it's like, what the hell are you thinking?
Yeah.
I find exactly. Some of them are too hard to believe that they're even submitting a lot, because they would know already that a lot of times our organization is the way we do things. Most are not doing it this way. Mm-hmm. You think they would love it and appreciate it. So some people just don't think they're submitting a lot. They just think that we're all going to do this so they can act like idiots. Then you got some folks, although you can't help them, because any attention you give them, they think they just became Shakespeare overnight. And that person you can't help.
No, it's those kinds just have to kind of pass it off. I mean, just, you can't waste your time on all the good you got going on. You can't waste it on one bad apple.
There's a lot of good.
Mm-hmm. Just move on.
That's the only reason why I keep doing it, because it is good. Because otherwise, you can't find a rationale to do this extra work if there's not something you're really getting out of it and really helping people. Otherwise, there's no reason to do it then. It's a lot of extra work for what?
Yeah.
Somebody yell at you or curse at you or act idiotic? No. So thank God we do have a lot of great people. Well, folks, definitely stay tuned. Lord knows I'm back to health and back to recording. And me and John are out there doing our thing. We got another Metal Future episode coming up. You'll hear it this Sunday. And, of course, this will probably be released in July, though, the episode we're doing now. And that's great. So I'm moving on. I'm moving on with July recordings and did what I could do for June. But we're back to normal out there helping out. We got definitely some new topics coming up in our metal show. We got some new topics coming up in the guest house issues that we're doing. And I got a bunch of things I'm doing with Standalone. And I'm trying to fit some interviews in for July. So later on in July, hopefully we'll hear a couple of people just trying to line things up and get that going back again. But I thank you very much for all your support and your questions and your good comments. I don't get too many negative comments on the show, so I don't know. Maybe I'll suddenly get them now that I said that. But I've been fortunate. I've been fortunate that way, and I'm glad. I'm hoping that, you know, we're trying to be instructive and educational and definitely, you know, giving a helping hand to people that can use it. And there's probably times, like everybody, where they have their dark or blue moments in writing, and sometimes a show can, you know, lift somebody's spirits and like, I need to get back onto it. And we hope that's part of what we're doing out here. Plus, of course, we're trying to have a little fun whenever we can.
Yeah, that's the thing. I know, you know, that's the thing. We're definitely, we get a lot of positive comments. At least I've seen them. And as long as people are digging what we do, that's what's really awesome about all this. So
definitely
always an honor to be on the show.
I expect in July we'll see... from Soma Publishing, we'll see John's newest edition, Once Upon a Nervous Breakdown. So we'll be seeing that, and that'll be great.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, there's another one I'm producing as well, and once I'm all done and everything, I'll make the announcement next time. So we have at least two titles that'll be coming out, at least. So I'm pretty excited about that. I know that... Linda Imbola, who we already have two great titles with, she is putting together a third one. So I'm not sure if that's going to be if that's going to be in July or August, but that definitely will be coming out as well. So I'm pretty excited.
It's a good read. Definitely.
You got it.
So
all right, folks. Until next time, I want to thank you very much for joining us. John, as always, thank you for being a big part of the show. A lot of folks like the banter back and forth, and it's always good for them to have more than just one opinion. So that great thing about having a show like that is that it allows that.
Well, thanks for having me on. Always have a great time on here.
You have a safe weekend, and I'll talk with you soon. God bless,
right,
folks,
Mark,
and
you
thank
too.
You very much for being on the show.
Adios.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.